Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the end of chapter 8 of the book of Acts from Terrorize Bible Study, Tell It Well.
Yay.
And it has been discussion after discussion. Last week we were talking about Simon the Sorcerer. You have to go back and listen to that.
It's intense, isn't it?
It's intense and it brings up just a lot of thought. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. And I'm like, well, just like read the same chapter every day and things will start popping out to you that, oh, I didn't even notice that word or different things. And just ask the Lord, go to him and sit with your Bible and say, here I am, Lord. Yeah. And so today we're going to be talking about Philip.
Yeah.
Yay. I like Philip.
I love this. Okay, so we ended last week summing up how Bible Knowledge Commentary and another commentator, Chuck Misler, sum up Simon the Sorcerer and whether or not he really believed in the Lord. And I'm not going to tell you what they said. You're going to have to go back and listen. That would be on, what, April 16th if you go to the podcast.
April 23rd.
Oh, April 23rd mm-hmm. if you go to the podcast. And so you're just going to have to go and listen to get the whole debate thing. As soon as... Peter and John had finished what they came to do. They came because they had heard how there was a movement of God happening in Samaria. And they came and they realized that the Samaritans needed the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on them and then the Holy Spirit came. Simon requested to buy it. He got totally knocked down and said, no way. Peter and John, it, scripture tells us, then left. And they began preaching until they got to Jerusalem to continue their preaching. So they left. Now, as this happens, I want you to consider the fact and the reality, and Sabrina had alluded to it on our second week in this series. Philip was having this huge ministry. I mean, a great, mighty work was happening in Samaria. People were coming to know the Lord. The whole city was rejoicing, and mighty things were happening. Even the apostles had shown up to see what was going on. I mean, this is the kind of thing that people are going to go see. I mean, have you seen those kind of movements where God is moving? I'm begging, please, Lord, right now,
yes.
Bring Omaha. That kind of movement in Omaha, please, in our nation. Bring a movement to people want to come and see what's happening. So here he has this movement of God, and the Spirit of God sends an angel that tells him, leave. You're done. It doesn't matter that this great work's happening. It's time for you to leave. And there's nothing harder than watching somebody leave when you've had them come in and fill you up and then they're gone. You know, I mean, it's like, well, what do you mean leave? And he didn't question God. He didn't argue with God. God said, go to the Gaza Strip in the desert. He went. And then when he got there, God didn't even tell him when he said, go to the Gaza Strip in the desert. Why? He was just told to go. He was not given an explanation completely, and it was immediate. He went, and as he was in the desert, there should happen to be a chariot. Now, when I was
in the desert,
I know it's so funny. It just, God cracks me up. He's got such a great sense of humor. Now, first off, growing up as a child, every picture I ever saw depicted, did you ever see any pictures of the Ethiopian eunuch and the chariot, Sabrina?
Never. But I grew up different, so no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up enough that I saw pictures, and it always depicted this man by himself in a lone chariot with a horse. I mean, that's not accurate. Okay, this Ethiopian eunuch was the eunuch of what would have been the Candace, the
And what
leader.
Is a eunuch? I'm sorry, really quick.
Okay, a eunuch was a man who was, for lack of a better word, castrated so that he could not partake affectionately with women within the court.
Okay.
He's a man that has been cut. Okay.
Okay.
So that he would not have desire ever again. Okay. And however, some commentators believe that at this point in time, it would have been a title, but not necessarily an act that they did anymore. Okay. And so some commentators believe that during this time that this Ethiopian eunuch may have been spared that ungodly act. And, but we don't know that for certain. It's speculation.
Okay.
And he was of the court of the queen, Candace, the queen. What does the scripture say? It says that he was the official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Okay.
That's pretty big.
He's not going to be in a lone chariot as a man riding along in the desert by himself if he is the man in charge of the treasury. Mm-mm. Okay. The other thing I want you to understand and catch that is so cool. He had a scroll of Isaiah. This is not something that would have been cheap. In their day and time, to have a scroll, a parchment of the entire book of Isaiah, one, would have been very rare. And it would have been very costly. Extremely costly. So the fact that he has that tells us that he was a man who had
some money.
Yeah, yeah. Not only that, being the head of the court and having the scroll of Isaiah, that tells us this man is a seeker. He is wanting to understand the things of God. He is returning, the scripture tells us, he is returning because he has gone to Jerusalem to worship. But in Jerusalem, because one, he's an Ethiopian eunuch, you know, he would be considered a person who may have been castrated. He was not allowed to go into the inner part of the temple. He was not considered clean. Okay. So for him, it would have just been to have been in the outer courts and to be able to have gotten a glimpse of what's going on within the worship center. So he has traveled all the way from Ethiopia to go to the tabernacle, to the temple, to get a glimpse.
And that had to have been days, months.
Yes. A major journey. A major journey. This man has traveled because he is seeking God. And he's been there. Maybe, I don't know. I didn't hear when, nobody speculates or says anything about when he would have obtained the scroll. But what if, while he was there, he got it? I don't know. And so now he's traveling back, and maybe that's why he's reading it. So as Philip comes alongside him, I just, you know, it is not a single chariot. Most likely it is a caravan because he's sitting down. Scripture says he is sitting and he is reading the scroll. So most likely he was traveling with a huge caravan. I mean, it would have been a large caravan, would have had the food, the supplies, the people to take care of things, the servants. I mean, it would have been a huge caravan, okay? Philip is jogging in the desert. Sabrina's making fun of me because I'm jogging.
Who would jog in the desert?
It's like, it's so funny.
It's so hot.
And he happens to notice a chariot with a man laying down reading, and he hears that he is reading from the book of Isaiah.
Of course, Isaiah 53:3
Yeah, that's exactly. And so he comes up and he's like, hey, you know, do you understand what you're reading? What blows my mind about this is that oftentimes we often think we have to know so much. And he began the dialogue about God things by asking a question. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? Now, Sabrina, earlier, you shared something that Adam said.
Yeah.
What did Adam tell you this past weekend? Let's repeat it. It's worthy of repeating.
It is. Adam said, my husband, it's better to be interested than interesting.
Meaning, be a person who asks good questions. You know, get to know people. And that's exactly what Philip did. Mm. I almost feel like God made Adam do that so we could use that as an illustration. You need to tell him.
No, I think it was some other
thing. It's a different issue. Yeah. A different issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how he got the dialogue going.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite ways to ask somebody so I can figure out where they are. I will use their jewelry. I will use their clothes. If they have pins of angels, if they have a cross, because just because someone's wearing a cross doesn't mean that they're a Christian. Mm-hmm. I will, you know, I will use something in
to spark a conversation that leads to godly things.
That's exactly right. And it has been amazing how God, because people aren't offended when you ask them a question. They're willing to share where their heart is or what mm-hmm. they think.
People like talking about themselves.
They do, but they even like talking about God things, even if they don't believe in God, because they want to share their opinion, their thoughts.
Yeah, very true.
And so asking someone simply, well, you know, well, why do you believe that? Can you explain it to me? I want to understand. They will be more than happy to tell you what is going on in their heart. More than happy. And invariably what I have found the uncanny thing is they start asking me questions. And then it gives me a chance to answer back with scripture.
Because most people don't understand really what they believe.
Yeah.
Which is what I've come in contact just with this weekend. You know, I've used some of your tactics.
I love it. No, it's not mine. It's God-given. It's right, in scripture.
It is, yeah.
And it's what evangelists and theologians and pastors and leaders have used for years. I just learned it from somebody. I don't know where I learned it from at some point in my life.
Right.
It's just we've been taught, and it works. It works. It works. It works. It works. And so here he asks him, and he says, I can't unless somebody explains it to me.
Is that not just anyone's perfect question to be asked? Like, if someone just came up to you, Tara, and said, can you just explain me the book of Acts? Like, you'd be like, what?
I always like coffee more than like happy to.
The sun would start popping out of the clouds.
It's huge. It's huge.
Had to make his day. Because it's like, oh, what a great deep conversation we're about to have.
Yeah.
Meaningful.
And Philip didn't go to what he felt had to be said. He met the Ethiopian eunuch right where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
And he started with the passage that he was reading. Sabrina, would you read in Acts 8, verses 32 through 33, so that we can hear the passage that was actually being read?
Mm-hmm. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.
Okay, this is Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8.
Oh, okay. 7 and 8, okay.
Yeah, but there, in that passage of Isaiah 53, Sabrina was correct, there are I think three or four times where it refers to the fact that he was a sheep that was silent. He remained silent.
Okay.
Okay. And so yours was, it just wasn't the complete whole thing.
I love that verse.
And I love Isaiah 53.
Of course he's bringing about Jesus's death.
Yeah. Yeah. And the eunuch says to Philip, tell me, is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? So he begins asking questions back. And it was so simple. There was no, it's not where he's pushing himself or in the case of Stephen, flat out preaching and saying, you're the ones that put him on the cross. He's dialoguing with That's this right. man and helping him where he's at. And he begins to explain from the prophets of what Christ, what was proclaimed about Christ and the good news and shows him what God did in sending his son. And as the Ethiopian eunuch looks out, he sees a body of water and he says, why can't I be baptized? And Philip says, and it's really interesting, some Bible translations do not have verse 37. Sabrina, look in your Bible. What translations do you have with you?
Mine doesn't have 37.
And most people don't catch that. It goes 36 and then 38.
Why? I have the NIV study Bible.
Well, I have with me the NIV Quest Bible. And the reason is that in the earliest manuscript, it does not have that verse. In the later manuscripts, the Greek, it does. And what Philip says to him, he says, if you believe in your heart, then you may, essentially. And so the Greek manuscripts show it, but the Septuagint did not. And so, you know, they left it out because it wasn't in the original text. And so the Ethiopian eunuch goes down and Philip baptizes him. And then scripture says, you know, immediately Philip was gone. He was no more. He never saw him again. He just disappeared. And Philip went off to Azotus and he was preaching where he went and he preached all the way to Samaria. He remained faithful in proclaiming. Now, what do you remember about Philip and how Philip became a servant of God? Do you remember how with the Hellenistic Greek Jews and the widows not being served, where did we first hear Philip's name? Do you remember? He was one of the seven.
He was one of the seven that was chosen of the men.
Yeah.
From the apostles.
To be a table server.
Oh. You remember that? That's like what, in chapter 5 or 6?
I think it would be chapter 6. Okay. Chapter 5 is Ananias and Sapphira. And so he was with Stephen, one of the seven that was appointed. Now, what happens is that he was appointed to be a table server to widows. And Stephen was appointed to be a table server with widows. Yet here Scripture provides us with three chapters, Acts 6, 7, and 8. Two men that were servants, that have the gift of serving, that were profound proclaimers of the word of God. Stephen did it unto his stoning, to where he so proclaimed God's word so powerfully that they couldn't keep decorum and they lost all decorum and stoned him. Philip was so faithful that an entire city of Samaria rejoiced, and that God used him to go to the one that tradition tells us that was the man who took the gospel to Africa. Okay? Oftentimes, I think when we look at each other's spiritual gifts, we will say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. And we will use that as an excuse not to proclaim God's truth, not to tell what we have seen and heard, what Jesus has done. These two men provide us a biblical example. It doesn't matter how you serve, whether you're a preacher, a teacher, or a person who works in the kitchen, or a person who does the sound system, or a person who cleans the bathrooms. All of us have the command to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. I mean, with their testimony and their example in Acts 6, 7, and 8, we're without excuse. We can't say, oh, I can't do that. You know, that's not my gift. They were proclaimers of the truth too. It's just the way they served was different. Do you see the difference?
Right. And they started one way and ended up somewhere different too.
You know,
the Lord can change, and as you grow and mature.
You can still be mature and serve tables and still serve widows. It's just you're to be faithful in proclaiming things, the word of God.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter where we're called to serve.
Right.
It's that we're to proclaim where we're at. That's the key.
That's at Jerusalem, right?
Yeah, yeah, to proclaim where you're at. And so as we're ending this out, I want us to think that I want you to understand that it was a command. It wasn't about a feeling. Well, I don't feel like I should say anything. Never once does it reference. I bet Stephen did not feel like proclaiming God's truth when he was being stoned. And I imagine that Philip, jogging in the desert beside a caravan, was probably a little bit winded.
That's a good guess.
And maybe physically did not feel like
right.
it. But both were faithful to proclaim where they were at. And that's what God asks of us. We are to proclaim what we have seen and what we have heard. And that's what they did. Because it's what we're called to do. We're so glad that you have been listening to Cultivating Hearts. I would love to hear from you. Please email me at tararye.com and connect with us. And just would love to hear how God's at work in your life. God bless.